In his farewell address, George Washington, the father of our country, said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." And he went on to say, and I'm going to paraphrase him here, that if you in any way try to subvert those two great pillars of human happiness, you really shouldn't call yourself patriotic. I mean, this is what George Washington himself said. And yet today we find ourselves in a situation where, for all practical purposes, the elites of our country are effectively trying to, spread immorality and irreligion on the culture at large. Jarrett Stepman is a very insightful writer with the Heritage Foundation. He writes articles for the Daily Signal. He's written a book called The War on History. We're going to get his insights in talking about some of his recent columns about the problem today of irreligion and immorality, as opposed to, again, Washington's vision, religion and morality. Jarrett, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's good to be on with you.
Okay. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Jarrett, you've been writing some interesting articles recently. Why don't you tell us about one recently dealing with what I call irreligion and immorality?
Yeah, I think that there's been a general, I think, war on America's traditional values and traditional history. I think there's no question, especially when you look at movements taking places in many of the schools across this country, especially public schools, that have tried to, I think, import, I think, radical ideas into classrooms, especially when you talk about many of the books that promote things that I think are outright pornographic to children in the ages, in the K-12 ages, many of whom are, I mean, at the level of kindergartner. Images that you can't even say on a television program that they want to push on young children. I think this is very much part of a general ideology, that their belief is that we should simply remove all stigmas from all various, lifestyles and worldviews, and that they have to, this is a good thing for children essentially to see these images, to believe that, this is what's good and what's right in this world. Many times, over the heads of parents who don't wish this. And I think that is, it's part of a broader movement to change the ethos of the younger generations of Americans who, you know, maybe didn't have much of a background in the kind of traditional morality and Christian teachings of this country. They've been left bereft of this, and now they're trying to subvert this with a new ideology that teaches many different things. It actually turns many of our traditional values on their head.
And the left will call this book burning if you try and curtail the distribution of some of these books, which are not age appropriate.
Not in the slightest. And I think it's really, I guess, a marvel of propaganda that they've turned a movement to essentially push pornographic materials onto school children and turn this into what they call book banning. I find remarkable, because it is often they who are the ones that are trying to actually remove books from schools. Huckleberry Finn or Uncle Tom's Cabin or all these many historical books, important reads, especially for those who are in high school and that age level. They're the ones who are oftentimes trying to remove these books, but they've turned this into a propaganda campaign, saying essentially that if you don't want these books promoting pornography in schools, somehow you're a book burner, you're a bad person, and that they've turned that around, this movement. I think it's a very pernicious set of ideas, and unfortunately there's a large national campaign to twist this narrative, to make that the narrative that Americans believe and buy.
Tell us about some of the other columns you've written recently that could tie into irreligion and immorality.
Yeah, I think another big one, I think that many of these ideas, I think they really stem from higher education in particular, that there's a certain worldview that comes down from higher education that kind of creates these narratives about who is good and bad in society based on ideas of oppressor versus oppressed. I think it very much moves us away from any notions of Christian morality or any kind of traditional religious morality into a very, I think, secularized ideology that kind of turns on its head a traditional notion of morality. I think it's very interesting this debate over the explosion of anti-Semitism on college campuses, this hatred towards Jews. I think it really very much stems around this ideology, this idea of oppressor versus oppressed groups, of the movement of anti-racism and all these other things. I think they're all linked together and to create a kind of new morality for the American people that's not based on whether your individual actions as a human being. It's based more on your skin color or your identity group. And there's nothing you can do one way or another to be considered good or bad if you fall into one of these buckets. I think that very much changes the traditional morality of this country. It moves us very much away from what we once were, and I think turns the idea of justice on its head very much.
Well, okay, let's take an example, because I know you write sometimes about the Hamas conflicts and so forth, and some of the pro-Hamas protests in campuses, college campuses and so forth. Would it be fair to say that in effect, with the left's mindset, which is basically informed by a Marxist type worldview, that there's the oppressors and the oppressed, and Hamas, even though they do these terrible things, or what you and I would say are terrible things, they're the oppressed, so it's okay for them to do that?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. In fact, their actions that they conducted, which was incredible violence, rape, murder, those things are forgotten or immediately forgiven as long as they're on behalf of the ultimate political cause. I mean, that's why I think there are many of those who even do have much contact with higher education universities who are maybe a little shocked at this moment to see what's become of it, because I think it's shocking for many to see, well, I mean, you're basically excusing the genocidal actions of these people, a terrorist attack that, and many, of course, have seen these images and have heard about what's happened there. And there seems to be a complete excuse. And then, of course, turning that around and saying, well, actually, all those terrible things, the real guilty party is the state of Israel. It's the people who were victimized are the real villains in this story, and that's what they've turned this into. Again, there's no accounting for the individual actions of these people. You're simply guilty or innocent based on who's elected to be among these oppressor and oppressed groups. And I think that is very much an inversion of morality. I think it does stem from many Marxist ideas. It's a kind of Marxism as applied now in the 21st century that fits with a lot of the narratives that the left wants to portray of both the West and I think the civilization.
And we see some of this thinking on college campuses. And speaking of that, the president of Harvard, former president, had to step down, not because she was essentially in favor of Hamas as opposed to the Jews, or at least she wasn't willing to condemn Hamas's barbarities and so forth. It depends on context, she said. But ultimately, she, you know, there were multiple examples of plagiarism. But your comment about that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, of course, it wasn't just the president of Harvard; it was other universities as well, who essentially made excuses for those on their campus who were calling for the obliteration of the people of Israel, who made many, I think, anti-Semitic comments. People who always seem to be, again, their narrative is always that, you know, we stand for the oppressed, we stand for these groups. But as soon as we saw these actual actions take place, they suddenly clammed up and said, well, no, we embrace free speech. We won't necessarily support that, but we won't say anything about it either. And I think it showed, of course, the cowardice to acknowledge what something that was a great evil that took place. But it does show that also the priorities of these college campuses. They can't say something that's very plainly a good or bad. They can't speak about it in plain terms. And while I'm happy that eventually the president of Harvard and some of these other universities stepped down, I fear that these campuses did not have a change of heart, that ultimately they're still committed to that same ideology, to the same vision, the diversity, equity, and inclusion vision that I think replaces traditional morality. I think it replaces the views that were very much more common in this country and throughout the West with something that is against those traditional views, that is very much an ideology obsessed with power and based on Marxist doctrines.
As we continue our discussion with Jared Stepan about irreligion and immorality, I noticed one of your columns, you talked about how the fact you, as a resident of New York City, see a lot of times firsthand our illegal immigration crisis going on there, and I'm sure that's true in other places in the country.
It's quite amazing on this topic of illegal immigration, especially with the Biden administration's policies. I mean, we see it very much in New York City now, where many have been simply released into this country, declared by the administration to be seeking asylum. What I've seen from, especially in New York City, is that many of these individuals, they tend to be adult men by between the ages of about 18 to 25. They don't appear to be fleeing oppression in any sense. They've now gathered in large parts of the cities where they have detention areas that have unfortunately now are now covered in trash and seem to be devolving into anarchy. We've seen a rise in crime in many of these areas, and really subverts, I think, the self-government of the American people. I mean, this really is an administration that is essentially ignoring the immigration laws that we have in this country to ensure that the American people are safe from criminals and those who we don't know who are coming into this country, potentially terrorists and those who wish other Americans harm. It's really a message is the American people don't have control over their own government, that essentially the decisions we made for you by bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., and so it undermines even the concept of, small d democracy and self-government that, some of these ideas that our country was founded on are being completely subverted, so that we no longer live in a self-governing country under the Constitution. We are simply an economic zone, a plaything for elites who just move populations here and there. And I think that's very much an attack on what the United States was founded to be. I mean, the very basis of self-government. It's what, in large part, what the Patriots of 1776 fought to create for self-governing people. I see that very much under attack with what's happened on immigration.
And think about the active measures of the Biden administration to prevent the governor of Texas from using those razor wires, from keeping this invasion of illegal immigrants, at this certain point. And the Biden administration says, no, Texas, you have no right to defend yourself.
That's what's really amazing about this. I mean, they've taken every tool out of any American's ability to actually defend themselves. I mean, really, the whole impetus of this should be on the Biden administration to do something about this. And that's why I think there now are calls especially to impeach Department of Homeland Security head Alejandro Mayorkas because of a total failure of constitutional duty to uphold the laws of the country. I mean, it shouldn't be on the states to have to enforce these things. But in removal of the federal government's responsibility, they seem to have no choice on this matter. And so I think they're causing a great deal of conflict in this country. They are destroying a lot of communities, not just alongside the border, but throughout the United States, because as we see now, many cities now are dealing with this very same issue that at one time was only something that was suffered by border towns. Well, now everybody's going to start suffering this, and maybe it's an eye-opening moment to see that the laws of this country are being subverted radically by this government.
All right. We basically are out of time. But again, I thank you so much, Jared Stepan. His work can be seen at DailySignal.com. His classic book is The War on History. And I want to close with this thought from our second president, John Adams, who said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Very similar to the statement from George Washington about religion and morality are indispensable supports to our political prosperity. Jared, all the best. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Jared. I appreciate it.